Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. It is Torah today. It's time to get in the presence of the Lord and get before His Word and break the bread of life together. Excited to be here with you tonight. It's morning. It's not night. It's the 49th week, and it's daytime. It's daytime. I'm excited to be here with you today for His story. We want to celebrate the Word of Yah through the assembling and the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of the Word of Yah. I believe that this is the bread that gives us life, and we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is how we live. And so we want to definitely come together and celebrate around this theme today, Parashat Kai Tetze, which means when you go out. And we know that Parashat is just talking about the opening statement. It's talking about the theme of that particular writing, and we understand that this is about the going out. Now, last week we started out with Shoftim Judges. Judges was last week, and we discussed about the judges last week and all that the Father had instituted by way of Moses to make sure that the people had the laws and the rules and the precepts and the statutes, and we've been talking about that for some weeks now. The importance of and the necessity of law to bring order. And that's what it wound up being. But originally there was order before there was even a law. The order that was set contained the law in it. And so when man fell, we wound up getting on a system where law had to be created to bring order. And so the finished work of the master was about bringing us back to order. So that we would just be able to operate in the presence of God. We would be able to operate as the God-men that we were created to be, and we would not need all of the necessity of all of the functionings of extra things that we do. And, you know, there are a lot of things, even though we don't do a lot of the different things that are written in the Old Testament, like we don't do sacrifices and we don't do various other things. The whole point of all of that was to help us to understand. Well, there were lots of points, but I want to share this point with you. One of the points of that was to help us to understand that even though we're not doing the practice, we must maintain the principle. And so a lot of the things that I was reading in this week's Torah section, I was at first like, okay, Father, how do you want me to break this down to your people? Like, what do I, you know, because we're coming out of those religious constructs. We're coming out of that church age. And we have a lot of information, but what we've been dealing with over the years, over the course of the years, as it pertains to the church, is having a lot of knowledge. So what we've been really eating from is the tree of knowledge, because you can have your head full of scriptures, head full of Bible stories and passages and all of that, but without the Spirit, you're just a knowledge goon. You just got a bunch of knowledge in your head. But we want to eat from the tree of life. That's what brings healing. It's what brings immortality. We don't want to be in that place where we're just filling our heads with information that's not bringing any transformation. And a lot of these houses are just that. They're information stations. They can tell you a good story and give you a good hoop. But what we want to do is we want to come into the revelation of God's word, and that's his desire for his people, because when we have revelation, then we have manifestation. And so we're going to share some things today that you might not have looked at a certain way. But today, as I said, we last week were talking about Judges and how all of that was being set in order. And it's just like a bee festival outside of my car. I don't know what that's about. I might need to turn on the car and turn on the air, because otherwise we might be in here screaming and hollering and fanning at bees. So we're not going to do that. But so this week's passage is when you go out. And you know what? There's an old adage that parents used when I was coming out. Not so much anymore do parents say this to children, because they've got these pads and tablets and phones and all of this other stuff to keep them occupied and make them drones in the society, very non-relational and a bunch of stuff. But when we were coming up and before my time, parents used to really have a serious conversation with their children about, when you go out, you're representing me. You know what I'm saying? I need you to watch how you walk, watch how you talk, represent the household well, because when they see you, they see me. And I believe that this Torah passage and all that we have read today in Torah, and by the way, I'm going to give you the passages shortly, are about God giving us a message that, listen, you are a representation of me. And so in order for you to represent me well, I need to give you the ground rules and the foundation, the premise upon which you're supposed to live, so that you can accurately live this thing out in a way that it glorifies me and it brings men to the knowledge of who I am. Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting at verse 10, going through Deuteronomy 25:19 is your Torah reading. Then Isaiah 54, 1 through 10 is your passage in the prophets. And then Matthew 5:27 through 30 and 1 Corinthians 5:1-5 are the passages for today. And we might get through some of it today. If not, I know I'm going to hit it all. I don't even really have a lot of notes today. I'm just kind of, you know, being led of the Holy Spirit in a different way today as it pertains to these passages, because he was really just kind of giving it to me as I was going along. One of the things that I want to address just coming out of the gate, when you go out, I want to address this coming out of the gate. My mother and I were talking about this morning. What I noticed about these passages, before I get into what we were talking about, is that the overtones are relational. The overtones are about relationships. The majority of what we're going to read today, the majority all of it is relational. It's how man should relate with man on different levels. And that's a very crucial element. As I said before, we live in a society where text messages are more important than meeting face-to-face. You know, before that it was a phone call. And now we can't even get to a phone call no more because we're so busy texting and shooting each other DMs in the social media boxes and all of this stuff. When the reality is, God desires his creation to interact, to interface. That interfacing is important if you're in relationship, because the dynamics of that interfacing give one and the other what is necessary to grow and to go. It's one thing to say a word to somebody. It's another thing to see that person, to impact them, to touch them, to be close enough to them to really speak a word into there. And, I mean, you could speak a word and send it somewhere. That's great. But, you know, the master didn't always send his word. He went some places. Some places were a little bit too personal for him to just send a word. I want you to lay hold on that today. Some places were just too personal. So one of the things my mother and I were talking about this morning were men and the society and the age that we live in today, and how men just aren't men anymore. This is a really scary scenario, how the enemy has come to debase, to bring men to their lowest degree, to the place where they are emasculated on such large levels that they don't even know they're emasculated. They're just starting to operate out of a whole other paradigm. It's not, you know, men were men when I was growing up. And before my time, my mother can declare men were men. Whether they were right or wrong, they were men about it. Now we live in an age in a society where men just feel like they can do whatever. They feel like they're entitled to whatever. They break cell phones. They tear up stuff. I mean, they do a bunch. And I'm like, where in the world did men ever behave in this way, where they were behaving emotionally, you know, just out of their emotions? You know, flesh is one thing, but out of your emotions, where you throwing tantrums? And I don't understand the age that we live in, but I believe that God's bringing us back to a place in this season And part of that bringing us back to the place is breaking the powers of religion over the lives of the people. And once the powers of religion are broken and the truth of the word of God is revealed to the people, then they can get back to their natural estate. They can get back to their natural place, the place that God ordained them to be. So as I'm talking about this stuff today, as I'm sharing this word with you today, I believe that it's going to impact you in a way that's going to bring some things to your attention. So you're going to have some aha moments. You're going to have some moments where you're making some transitions from one thought process to another, because really at the end of the day, it's all about repentance. It's all about us realizing that our way of doing things just from a manly perspective, just from a fleshly perspective, is outside of the scope, outside of the realm of the original plan of God. And so we've got to get back to the original plan of God for good success. So he's telling them, when you go out, he's giving them their instructions as any parent would. When you go out, this is the way that you're going to handle your business. So let me get to just a couple of things here. We see in Deuteronomy, there's a breakdown here. It begins with chapter 21, and it begins with marrying female captives. Now, I'm telling you right now, when I started reading this, I was like, okay, Father, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Everything else just kind of clicked. It just kind of made more sense to me as to what angle or where I'm supposed to talk from. That's why I don't even have any notes today, because I don't want to put my mind or my thought processes into this. I want it to be purely his discussion with you today about these things, because I had no clue. So it's he's the one with the clue, so we're going to lean on him for the explanation of these things. And so I was trying to figure out, like, what does this have to do? But he says, when you go out to war against your enemies and the Lord your God gives them into your hand and you take them captive and you see among the captives beautiful women, a beautiful woman, and you desire to take her to be your wife and you bring her home to your house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails, and she shall take off the clothes in which she was captured, and shall remain in your house and lament her father and her mother a full month. After that, you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. But if you no longer delight in her, you shall let her go where she wants, but you shall not sell her for money, nor shall you treat her as a slave, since you have humiliated her. Now, I'm telling you right now, I was like, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about here? Let me break this down for you the way that he gave it to me. You know, men should be men, but there's a thing that God desires out of his creation. And so he puts us in positions where we don't, where we're not hasty about our decisions. When I read this and the Holy Spirit began to reveal this thing to me, he began to share with me that being hasty about decisions is a bad choice. He says, listen, you know, there is a saying in the world that in war, there's, what is it, something about all is fair in love and war. That's a worldly concept, because the reality is when it comes to love and war and all of that, there are rules of engagement. And so the Father gives rules of engagement here. Now, it is clear that he really doesn't desire his people to be connected, to just anything and everything. But he also realizes the kind of people that he's dealing with. And so he's kind of over the whole, not that he's over the mixing as much as he's over the whole, I'm not coming down hard on you guys about certain things. I just want to set some boundaries for the things that you're thinking you're about to do. Now, think about this. If a man catches a woman, he's going to capture her in the state or the condition that he was in. That means he was the first, he first was drawn to her, her beauty, in her state where she's all made up, she's all dressed up. You know, everything about her is what draws him. And I want to say this. I'm not sure if I believe in love at first sight or if I don't. But what I will say about that is at first sight is what we're dealing with. But unless as believers, unless as regenerate people, we get past what we see and begin to deal with people and know people by the Spirit, then we'll continue to have disastrous relationships. So he tells the men this. He says, listen, I understand you're going in, you're capturing folks. So these are clearly not the ites. These are clearly not these are people. These are human. Now, we know that he wanted them to go in and utterly destroy the ites. A lot of those ites, a lot of those different nations were not just human. They had another DNA. They had another seed in them. And so that was a whole nother story. But he's dealing with humans now. He's saying, when you go in and you go to war and you see a beautiful woman, he said, I'm going to need you to do this. If you feel like you want to be connected, if you feel like you desire to take her to be your wife, then you're going to need to follow some protocol. You're going to need to follow some procedures. What I'm going to need you to do, first of all, is take her, have her shave her head. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you met her and she had long hair and she was altogether wonderful, you tell her to shave her head and she's got to cut her nails, or let her nails, I'm sorry, grow out really, really long and out of control. And she's sitting in your house and she's crying and she's weeping and she's bemoaning her parents, the separation between her and her parents for a full month. Now you've got to decide, really, do you really want this? Because it gives the option at the end, but if you no longer delight in her, because see, after she shaves her head, now you got to deal with, am I even attracted anymore? So it goes, really, relationships go beyond the attraction, even though, you know, people are taken by what they see first a lot of times. You've got to get to the root of the thing. You've got to get to the spirit of the thing so that you'll know and identify who this person is. Now, we know and we are clear, and I've said this before, that it's God's desire to really situate us in our marital situations. I don't know why we can have God in every part of our business, but when it comes to marriage, we don't want any suggestions. We don't want his assistance in those areas. We want to do it for ourselves, which is why we wind up connecting with the wrong people and having such major issues in relationships and such major pitfalls and problems with people, because we're trying to do it ourselves instead of being led of the Holy Ghost. So he puts the men in a position where, listen, if you are going to do this thing, then I need you to put this thing out there, do it this way, because at the end of the day, God knows how to get to us. He knows how to get to the core of who we are. Now, if you was really just attracted to her for how she looks and all of that, then you're going to have a problem, because if I shave her head, and if she shaves her head and her nails grow out long and out of control and she's doing a bunch of crying and whining and all of that, you might not want to be connected to that, okay? It goes on to the first right, the rights of the firstborn. And there are just a lot of rules of engagement and how to relate to people. It goes also to a rebellious son. Now, I want to say this about the firstborn. He talks about here if a man has two wives. Now, a lot of people use this as an excuse to not be monogamous. That was the original plan of God. He's not really dealing with their monogamy at this point because they've come out of a place where they've seen something else. He's really dealing with the heart of the matter. So he's giving them laws. Now, when you look at these laws, especially when it pertains to men having more than one wife, these laws that are put in place really are almost impossible to fulfill, which means you probably only need one, because it's impossible. Some of the things are impossible to fulfill. Now, this particular law talks about the difference between the two wives. If one of the wives you love and the other one is unloved, then both the loved and the unloved have borne children to you. The firstborn son belongs, and the firstborn son belongs to the unloved. Then on the day when you assign the possessions as an inheritance to your sons, you have to acknowledge that one that's the firstborn. Even if he is the firstborn of the unloved, he is the firstborn. You have to acknowledge him and treat the son of the loved as it says here, he may not treat the son of the loved as the firstborn in preference to the son of the unloved. So whoever was first is first, whether that's the wife that you love the most or not. I want to go to rebellious son because there was a lot of meat in here, and I don't know if we're going to get to the prophetic passage and to the New Testament passages, but I want to go here. A rebellious son, and maybe I can intertwine it, because the reality is who we sleep with, who we connect with, who we fellowship with and commune with is going to impact what kind of children we bear. So I'm just throwing that out there. A rebellious son, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, we're in verse 18, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is gluttonous and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This is an important passage. It's so many angles here, and there's so many directions. I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit lead me in a direction that's necessary for you today. The first thing is this. We know that we live in a society where we can't stone our children. We can't kill them, okay? We can't slay them. But there is a principle that is here that is invaluable. And we know we live in a society where people feel like, oh, my kids are my kids. Can't nobody talk to my kids, and a whole bunch of foolishness. But I'm going to tell you something. The importance of a quote-unquote village raising a child is invaluable in this society where we have parents that are not really parents. They're not parenting their children. They're allowing the iPads and the television and cell phones and technology to parent their children, and wondering why they have to holler and scream and why they feel like they're in this place where they have to keep repeating themselves. I'm from the school of no repeating. You know, when I was raising my children, I didn't have to repeat myself over and over again. From the era that I'm in, people didn't have to repeat themselves to me over and over again. It was a matter of fact that if an adult told you to do something, you just did it. Well, here in this case, And I'm sure throughout the history of mankind, there have always been children that were rebellious. Well, one of the things that is an important piece here is that the parents who, even though they raised the children, even though they had given the children what they needed, they had disciplined the children and all of that, what I'm seeing here is two different things, two different angles. I'm seeing a progression here. We're dealing with a son that is young, but we're also dealing with a child that is old enough to drink or be gluttonous, okay? So that child is the one, or that son, it says son, that son is the one that comes to the city, to the gate of the city. And what happens at the gates? We know that the judges rule at the gate. So there's going to need to be some other voices in the ears. There's going to need to be a first standing of a ground of parents. And then, and you notice I said parents because that's imperative, because what we have in this society is a lot of one family, one parent households. We have a lot of separation. Then we have a lot of mixing of families. It's really not what God designed. And so we've got to get back to the place that he designed. So we have to start making better choices and better decisions and start teaching our children the way of the Lord. This is imperative that we teach them the way of the Lord, because if they begin to understand the way of the Lord, then they can make better decisions. And generations to come will be in a different place than where we are today with all of these mixed families and all of this different kind of stuff. And so it says take them to the city, to the gate of the city. That's a place where judgments are made. Now, it said something about slain, and I looked up this word slay. I looked up stone. I looked up all of that. And what I came to, I did understand that in this day that they were allowed to stone and to slay. But there's some words in there that pertain to slaying that regarded sound, as if there was a loud sound. It was, probably a lot of talking aimed at this person. There was probably I don't know. When I looked at it, it kind of almost came across to me like sound warfare, okay? There needs to be some sound that this person hears. There needs to be something that impacts them in a way that shifts them. And so I'm just throwing that out there. A man hanged on a tree was the next part. And I'm so thankful. Just looking at that just reminded me and took me back to the finished work that was done for us. And it's important that we understand that this says if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, that he is to be put to death and hanged on a tree. When we look at this, we can always remember that the master was not punishable. He was not guilty of anything. He was only guilty because he died as us. His only guilt was that he took our sins, our infirmities. He took our guilt. He took our shame to the cross. He died as us so we could live as him. And I love the word of the Lord, because he declares, you know, as I am in the earth, so are you. He was the firstborn of many sons, and that's important to note, because you are the secondborn. That means the purpose in which you were put in the earth was the same purpose that he was put here to finish the work that the Father began. So there were various laws that were shared in Deuteronomy, in those passages in Deuteronomy. The 22nd chapter talks about how to handle relational things between your brothers, and you know how women should dress and how men should dress. You know, all of the morality were given there, and I love the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 21, because it begins to talk about how you should handle business as it pertains to your brothers. It says, "You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and ignore them." There are some things that you shouldn't ignore when it comes to your brothers or your sisters. You know, the Bible declares this in the New Testament. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, that took me directly there. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. If you're in a position of opportunity to be a blessing, if you're in a position of opportunity to help somebody, then that should be your position. At all times, that should be your position. And even if they don't live near you, it says, and you don't know where they are, you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall stay with you until your brother seeks it. In other words, if you found something that doesn't, and you know who it belongs to, bring it to your house. If you don't know where they stay, if you can't get in touch with them, you bring it to your house until they're seeking for it. And when you know they're seeking for it and you finally make the connection, then you can give it to them. You understand what I'm saying? This is important. You do the same with his donkey and with his garment. And it's just, you know, this stuff is so important. Some of it you may not understand right off, but, I mean, the importance of it is the fact that these laws were given so that when you go out, right, when you go out, that you know how to conduct yourself. Because how you conduct yourself, the character that you exhibit when you go out, is going to determine whether you are promoted. You know what I'm saying? It's going to determine how people see you and how people see the God that you serve. That matters at the end of the day. And let's go all the way down to verse 13. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 22.
all the way down to verse 13, and this may tie us into, we've got like a couple minutes left, tie us into Corinthians chapter 5, and it may tie us into Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if we're going to actually get to Isaiah, but we know that we are in the season of God's remembrance of us. So read that passage today with the thought and with the thought process of God is remembering his people. He doesn't stay angry forever. And he wants us to, even if we've been barren, even if it seems like we haven't birthed or brought forth anything, that day is over. The days of barrenness are over for your life. You're coming into a place of such a flourishing that you won't be even able to keep count. You won't even be able to keep up with what God is doing in your life. Laws about sexual immorality. This is absolutely important. It says here, if any man takes a wife and goes into her and then hates her and accuses her of misconduct and brings her a bad name, brings a bad name upon her, saying, I took this woman. When I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity. Then the father of the young woman and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city and the gate. See, we're back to this. Something has to be judged. When people start talking about stuff and when people start having conversations, I was talking to somebody that I love so much, and they were sharing some things, and this is how rumors get started. Nobody challenges a rumor. Nobody challenges what people are saying. And when you don't challenge what people are saying, first of all, you need to be led by the Holy Ghost, because if you're led by the Holy Ghost, you're not moved by just the words that people are speaking. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. You will never just sit and hear what somebody's saying. I tell people this all the time. I don't deal with people based on what other people say about them. Now, I'm mindful of what you said, but I'm also mindful of your intent. You know what I'm saying? Because people can say something and have an intent to do something else, which we find here. This man clearly knows that this woman was a virgin when he met her, because there is a law, there is a rule in place that says that the sheets must be taken off of the bed, there must be blood on the sheets, and the parents, you know, are holding that. They have the evidence of her virginity. Now you've gone into her and you want to do something else. It's the same, it's the culture that we live in today. It's just a gross society. Take advantage of situations. They want to partake of all of the goodness of someone else, but they don't want to be responsible for the goodness that they're partaking of. And that's against the law of God. You know, so all of this dating foolishness that people like to do, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. There is a way that God desires his people to come together, and it's the purpose behind that. And I was sharing with somebody this week, people have to understand the purpose of relationships. If you don't identify the purpose of a thing, then you'll be subject to just doing anything, connecting anywhere, and you'll have all kinds of outcomes. So it's important that we be men, you know what I'm saying, that we be grown-ups about things. You know, when we're children, we should think as children. We should respond as children. We should do as children. But as men, as mature people of God, then there's another thought process. There's another doing. There's another desire to do something different. It cannot be this base mindset that everybody has. It cannot be the base mindset of the culture, the flesh. That can't be the ruler of the life of a regenerate man and woman of God. It has to be that the Spirit is the lead. And so tonight I'm praying for you that God forms something in you, because this is what me and my mother were talking about too. She made a statement, and I said, it's God that forms men. And when we look at the beginning, we see that God formed men out of the dust of the ground, but he also breathed a breath, and he also spoke some words over his life. There was a combination between his words and his hands that caused a likeness and an image and an immortality. Just a beautiful man, just a beautiful creation made in the image and likeness of God. And so God forms men. Just because you're born into the world doesn't necessarily make you a man. It may make you mankind, but it doesn't make you a man. Men are formed, and that takes teaching. That takes training. Are you hearing me? David's last words to his son was, be strong and be a man. I'm telling you right now, be strong and be a man. All of these things that we're looking at in Torah, they require us to be strong and to be men, to be mature. Are you hearing me? Because inheritance is only given to the mature. I love you so much. I can't go any further today, but I want you to read these passages in your own time and be right back here with us on Monday at 6:30 for the prophetic roundtable. I love you so much. Find me on Facebook and Periscope at Apostle Crystal Lee. And if you need to send me a message by email, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. Bless you. Love you so much.